Extreme. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Good.
Very good. We have, of course, our resident in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling, and number one Hawks fan, always bringing it. And I know this real estate radio, I know because of what we've done in the topic, I know that there's no way we're going to get out of here without relating real estate to the big game.
We certainly are not. I got some great stuff to go over, Lance. I'm very excited.
Well, fantastic. We always like to start with our local real estate story, and then we'll kind of get on to the national scene and talk about that a little bit. This week, some press out. You might have seen it in the paper and talking about. We've had as a guest on the show before the developers of Badger Mountain South. If you haven't been out Dallas Road and taken a look at that development in the last couple months, the landscape out there is changing dramatically. They've actually started moving dirt on their next phase. There's a couple completed homes out there for sale now, and five or six others coming out of the ground right now. So that's a development that will potentially, over the course of the next 15 years, add 5,000 residences and up to 15,000 people in that part of South Richland.
Well, wow. I'm saying it's going to dramatically shape the future of the area.
Yeah, so that will be a big big focus for Richland and what's going on out there. If anybody has any questions about that, please let us know. But also announced, too, that the Country Mercantile doing a second location out there. It is going to be kind of a live-work-play type of development. We've seen other master plan developments kind of around the Tri-Cities do that. So they're going to have some commercial, some wineries out there. And so that'll be really nice to start to see that side of town develop out.
The same Country Mercantile folks north of Pasco?
Yes.
Oh, my wife's going to love it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Love it.
So it'll be a lot easier for the Richland residences to access that services. On to our national story. I know I'm going to relate it to. I'm going to relate the Super Bowl back to real estate. Mr. Tom Coyne, what do you got on your end, money man?
You know, considering my background in home financing, I thought it was appropriate to share some staggering 2014 Super Bowl financial facts that I found. Now, all these statistics, I got to give appropriate notoriety here. All these stats came from New York Daily News, Forbes, and International Business Times. So this year, a 30-second ad spot during the Super Bowl will cost an average of $3.8 million.
Wow, 30 seconds.
That is up from $3.5 million last year. Now, interesting, 47 years ago, on the first Super Bowl in 1967, a 30-second ad spot cost $37,500.
Wow, that's insane.
That's two more zeros behind that number is what it costs 47 years later. Incredible. Around 111 million people tune in to watch the Super Bowl, so maybe that's why these companies are willing to spend so much money.
Mm-hmm.
The game is expected to generate $550 million for the local New York economy on visitor spending alone. So that's people coming in from out of town. There will be 82,500 ticket holders and another expected 150,000 out-of-towners coming to join in on the Super Bowl festivities. The average cost of a Super Bowl ticket this year is $3,088.
Average.
That's one ticket.
Okay.
Wow.
Incredible. Now, this is interesting. The typical demographic for someone attending the Super Bowl is a 43-year-old male with a salary around $200,000, expecting to spend about $600 a day to enjoy the full experience.
Wow. Well, you have to make that much to afford the ticket.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, I estimated that an individual who buys two tickets, hotel, airfare, a Super Bowl experience package, food and drinks, they're expected to spend around $10,000 for a three-day weekend.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, I would think that. I mean, that's intense. It's one of those things that's really become kind of a bucket list item. I think even the Tri-City Herald this week and some of the radio stations talked to some folks that had saved up. You know, they had been saving for years because this was a bucket list item that were going from the Tri-Cities. You know, some father-sons that were going and friends. And it's just one of those things that, yeah, it's, I mean, you're saving like a major vacation.
No, it's a huge amount. It's on my bucket list, Lance.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to make it happen this year. $10,000 is a lot of money.
Definitely, for sure.
And maybe next year, right?
Yeah.
John?
Exactly.
You could go next year.
Yeah.
Okay, for the sports bettors out there, Nevada may see as much as $95 million in play, which could be a daily record.
Wow.
Now, takeout food, also incredibly popular. Domino's, Pizza Hut, and Wingstop, they plan to sell a combined 13.5 million wings for the Super Bowl. And it's not surprising that antacid sales go up by 20% following the game.
I can't believe that. That's incredible.
Now, the brand itself, the Super Bowl brand, Forbes estimated the brand is worth $470 million.
Yeah.
No other game even comes close. Now, players on the winning team, they receive a bonus of $92,000. And if they lose, they still get $49,000.
Okay. Not a bad Sunday.
Those are my little financial facts that I found for the Super Bowl. Pretty interesting stuff.
Really interesting stuff. And because this is a real estate show, when I started to dig into the research about it and stuff, there came across some interesting facts. And one of the things that came out was what they tend to call the underground economies of the Super Bowl, the scalped tickets and the type of maybe unbranded merchandise and stuff that is not correctly licensed. But one of the biggest issues that comes up is New York is expecting a huge, one of the most lucrative underground economies is real estate. Because what happens is it's estimated that there will be 400,000 people, you know, descend on New York. And you talked about those numbers with people coming. And that's a lot of extra rooms to come up with. So what happens is as those hotels and stuff fill up, you have websites like Craigslist and for rent and people renting out and subletting apartments that pop up. So there's even if you look and do a little bit of research, you can even, people are renting out parking spots in their driveways for people to plug their RVs and stuff into. So giving them power and the driveway and renting out their spots in their driveway.
Kind of like people do with parking on the Pasco side of the boat races.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, very similar to that. So it gets very, very crazy when that comes up. Now, it's really interesting. One of the, what they call owner-to-owner websites is called Airbnb. So Airbnb has as many as 33,000 rooms in New York on any given day. And so they go all the way, there were rates on there all the way from $110 to stay in a little twin bed in somebody's apartment to $28,000 to have a huge house for the week, a mansion. So it's going to be pretty incredible to see how much is actually generated real estate dollars-wise. So just for fun, I went and thought, well, that's an interesting concept. So I went to the Airbnb site, and I said, because I've never done this before, is that available in Kennewick and Richland? And it is.
Huh.
And so there are folks just, you know, right here in Kennewick that have their properties listed on Airbnb. And so if you're traveling through town, don't want to stay in a hotel, you can jump on Airbnb and you can say, oh, gosh, this person over in Canyon Lakes, they have a mother-in-law suite. And I can just swing in there for the night and use the mother-in-law suite for, you know, half price of a hotel or whatever. And there was even reviews of some of the folks that are on that site here in the Tri-Cities of people that have stayed there and done that. So, I was doing this research, I wouldn't have thought, you know, national story here and talking about that website. But for people renting out individual rooms or houses, it's actually a viable site here in our community, too. So that's what I always love about the show is
I like how you tie it right back to local economy.
I was shocked. I was like, wow, I guess if I ever need to stick a relative at somebody else's house, Airbnb, here I come.
Nice.
Wow.
So that is a little bit. Then I went down and said, okay, let's take a quick look at the two cities. Let's look at Denver and let's look at Seattle and see how those relate with house values. So the median home value in Denver, $253,300. Actually, not too crazily different than Tri-Cities if we look and we rotate around that 185 to 190. Seattle, any guesses?
400 something.
Pretty good, Tom. Really good. $430,000 as the median home value. Population in both metro cities, actually very, very similar. Denver, 603,000. Seattle, 611,000.
Wow.
So very, very close. We could just line them all up for a city battle, and we'd have pretty even numbers if it comes to that.
If it comes to that. The way John was talking, it might.
Median age of Denver, 35. Which I was a little surprised by that. And then Seattle's very similar at 37. Homes with kids, Denver 21%, Seattle 18%. Now something different that we're not used to over here in Tri-Cities is average commute time, practically the same, 26 minutes in every city. So I'm rolling at about 7 usually in Tri-Cities, and that's from one city to the other.
Mm-hmm.
so very, very similar there. Four-year colleges, Denver has 6 and Seattle has 9. So a little bit different, obviously, Metro Seattle, those prices with all of the waterfront and what's there, definitely significantly higher. But real interesting as we kind of break it down and look at the real estate in those different communities and what's going on. It's just amazing. But localized economies like that that are popular for big events or rentals can sometimes be a way for people to generate an additional stream of income with their properties. And I know when we go and travel sometimes to different places, even for our kids' hockey and stuff, a lot of those VRBO or vacation websites, you can find residences that make it a little more convenient for families to travel and sometimes do way better if you're cooking your own meals and stuff than staying at a hotel.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so very, very good. One of the things that's been happening a lot is, number one, is we've seen a huge January here locally in the real estate market. Number of transactions, what's going on and coming through our office, website traffic is way up. And Tom, are you seeing the same thing on the lending side?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that closings in January might have been a little bit lower than what some of us expected, but the traction that January is bringing for, say, a February or March closings is really high right now.
Yeah, and we've had great weather. I know we have not seen the sun enough. I will definitely give you that. But if there have been Januaries in the past with snow and ice and just mess all the way around, and that really keeps the market from starting quickly. With this good weather, as I call it, good January weather, I know the builders are getting busy, the new construction side's getting busy, and that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit today is new construction pros and cons, because we're definitely seeing a lot of that. I talked about that Badger Mountain South development. South Kennewick's got a lot of developments going. Pasco's got some developments. So making that choice and what buyers need to consider when they're looking at new construction. So the number one thing that we see about that people need to look at is the process and cost and what you kind of need to consider when you're looking at new construction. Number one is time, and that can be a factor for a number of reasons. Builders are different, and builders have different schedules. Are you hiring a builder that does most of the work himself, and so you know exactly what you're getting, maybe very high quality control, but it might take 9 or 10 months to get that product done? Or are you going with a production builder that has more employees and more capacity, and they can get that house done in 3 months, 4 months, or 5 months, as opposed to, say, 10? So how long you're going to be renting can be a factor, because if you're selling another house and then starting a construction project, that's another factor. Do you have to sell that other house? Can you wait and have both houses at the same time? Or do you absolutely need to have the other one sold and then move into a rental while the new house is being constructed? So those are some of the costs that we're always thinking about. On top of that, if you're in a rental, do you have to sign a long-term contract? And, 6 months. And if not, how much more does it cost you to be month to month? So these are a lot of factors that people really need to look at in their budget. Sometimes that moving and rental process can work out to be $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 more than they were expected. And then, mom and dad's basement is looking pretty good for, as opposed to that. So, and you guys all laugh, but that's another thing that we see.
Yeah.
Is people a lot of times will maybe have family members that they can, or friends that they have a basement or a mother-in-law suite. But then I think also there's going to be a cost associated with mental anguish that goes along with that type of setup. So those are some of the things that we're really looking at with new construction. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Tom a little bit about how the financing side works in new construction, and then a little bit more about the differences between custom, semi-custom, and a spec house that's already done.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking a little bit about underground real estate economies with the Super Bowl and the crazy financing side of what's going on, related back, of course, to local real estate. One of the other topics that we've really been looking at is new construction. A lot of options out there for people in the Tri-Cities right now. A lot of great builders. We personally work with some amazing builders ourselves. We have some new construction inventory. We have some great custom products going right now. So this is just a realm that we deal in a lot and that we love to help people through the process. One of the things that people are constantly balancing is why new construction versus a resale house, for sure. So we're always doing a cost-benefit analysis. If you look at new construction, generally it's going to have more energy-efficient materials. So it's going to have a lower cost, more than likely, over time. You also might have very specific needs that are important to you. You might have extra big cars. You might have toys that need a shop or a garage. You might need an extra large hobby room, or maybe you have a home office. So when you have very specific needs like that, a lot of times you can only get that through a custom build. The other factor to consider is a lot of people work. I mean, we're a working community. We are getting more people retiring here. But when people are both working, a lot of times what you have happening is they don't want to take care of a lot of maintenance. And they don't have time for that type of stuff. So new construction might be a better choice in that case. Now, the only thing that comes up with is the negatives, if you look at it sometimes, is with new construction is when you move in and drop all your furniture and stuff in there and start to look around, one thing you'll notice is that there's probably not any blinds on the windows. most people don't like to live like that very, very long. Also, there might not be appliances in place. There also might not be rear yard landscaping done. And so that stuff adds up very quickly. And so if that is more than somebody's willing to take on out of pocket, that's when it might make sense sometimes for those folks to go from new construction to a resale type market. And so those are kind of always the costs that we're considering. Another cost that we're considering sometimes is the financing. How are we going to pay for this? So, Tom, I know you got some information on that. Help us out on the money side.
Yeah, so there's two different types of ways to finance a new construction. And one of it is builder finance, and one is borrower finance. So on builder finance, the builder will pay for the cost of the build, and when the home is completed, the borrower gets a traditional loan, and they purchase the house from them. Now, a lot of builders, though, require buyer financing, in which the buyer has to go and get a construction loan. There's a lot of differences between the construction loan and
and a traditional financing. So I wanted to talk about our one-time closed construction financing program. So the construction loan and the permanent loan are handled all in one closing. A lot of construction programs out there require you to get a construction loan during the build, and then you must refinance out of that loan to traditional financing once the home has been complete. The purchase of the lot can be financed in addition to the construction costs. So there's not a need for a borrower to go out and get a lot loan and then get a construction loan. We can package it all up together.
Nice.
During construction, the borrower is going to pay interest-only payments on the amount disbursed during the construction period. Now, what I mean by that is, let's say you have a lot and a construction package you're putting together. Your first draw on the construction loan will likely be for the lot. So you're going to start making interest-only payments on the cost of the lot. Then maybe the builder goes out there and does foundation and framing and requests a draw. We send the appraiser back out there, verify that work is done, and now you're paying interest only on the lot plus the foundation and the framing. So this goes on until all the construction is complete. There's generally 4 to 5 draws from the builder during construction, and at the end of the loan, we modify that over into permanent financing. There's not a need to actually refinance and incur all those costs again. We'll do fixed rate or ARM on the different loan options. We can do conforming and non-conforming loan amounts. Conforming is under $417,000 loan. Non-conforming is, of course, over $417,000. We'll do it owner-occupied or second homes. For conforming loan amounts, we require 30% down, and non-conforming, we'll do it at 80% loan to value, which is 20% down. Now, I'm saying all this now, but I'm really excited because in the next probably 3 months or so, we're rolling out a new construction program. We're working on developing that now. We'll allow just 10% down payment starting in probably around April, May.
For a construction loan?
10% down.
Get out.
Now, Lance, I haven't told you this yet.
No, why I said get out.
You're going to be excited about my next bit of news. If we pre-qualify your builder, we're going to have a group of qualified builders here in the Tri-Cities, and if we're able to put them as a preferred builder, we'll finance their construction loans with just 5% down.
Wow, and so that's where it's actually the customer that is getting that construction loan and then using a builder to do that.
You know, it's going to create a huge value for builders here in town because if people are looking around for builders to build their house and then they find out, well, I can get this loan from Sterling and go through this builder and just put 5% down on a construction loan, it creates a huge niche for that builder, if you will.
Well, it really does, and that's exciting information. We're going to have to talk off the air about some ideas that we can put together. So that's really good information, and you totally cut me off at the pass because that's one of the points that I was going to bring up, and that's another thing for people to consider when we talk about custom versus construction versus buying a spec house. What you have happening a lot of times is when you go full custom, in the past, those loans have generally been 25 to 30% down required from the customer. And so when we walk through the process and think about this, there's a reason for that, because if they're building custom and they're building those specific things and those colors that they want just for themselves, there's a lot of risk sometimes that those things are so specific that if something happened, it would be harder for the bank to recoup their investment with that. Versus a spec house, now when the builder has done that, that home has already been built. It's out to the market, to the general public. So the market value of that is more easily established, less risk for the banks, and so then they'd be willing to lend a higher loan to value is kind of the overall, I guess, $30,000 picture of how that process has evolved. It sounds like, though, you guys are putting some more systems in place with specific builders that you know and have been around so that they can kind of close that gap a little bit from custom to spec and make it available to a larger pool of people.
Yeah, and it's really going to streamline the construction process. Now, this program's not available yet. It will be here in the next few months. But we'll have already pre-qualified all of our builders, so there's not going to be a need to go through that on every single loan that we do. So really, really excited about that rolling out. And when it does, I will certainly be letting everyone know about it on the air.
Well, sounds great, Tom. Thanks for that information. And that really helps people when they're looking around and making those decisions. Another thing that comes up, and we talked about the different levels, we've talked about custom. There's more of production builders in town that really roll out what they call a semi-custom. And that is where they have maybe, say, 20 floor plans. They're used to building. They know their numbers very well on that. But they'll allow you to come in and say, you know what, I really like this floor plan, but I would like, you know, I'd like tile in the kitchen instead of wood. And I would like to pick this color of carpeting. And I would like to paint the walls this color. Well, that becomes a semi-custom because the plan is pretty much set. The builder knows what their costs are going to be. But they allow the client and the customer to go through and personalize that, pick out those colors, and make some minor changes that may not require, you know, major permits or different drawings and stuff, and allow them to personalize the house in a semi-custom mode. And that's a really popular choice. We see that a lot in Tri-Cities. A lot of those builders that are doing that, they are set up with their commercial loans and their construction money so that they're able to build those homes on their money and then sell the package at the end, similar to how a finished spec house would be, but sell it as a finished product and get the people in there with a little less down than they would if they did a full custom. And so there are so many choices for that type of building in Tri-Cities. We like to help people look at the options, compare different builders. One of the things that's nice is to sit down with somebody that's struggling with this process and say, okay, what's the difference between Oasis and New Traditions and Sullivan Rau and Sefton Homes and Infinity, and go through all of these builders and really help people in that process and decide, okay, what are your needs and wants? What are your styles that you like? And then we can help you kind of align yourself into that process. So those are the two, custom and semi-custom, and then you'll see what we call in the industry a spec house. That's a finished house, and that's a house that is done, and it's in inventory, and the builder has built it the way they see that house being in their vision, and it's finished. Now, the advantages is that a lot of people... they're not very good at picking those colors. I'm just gonna say it. That's not what they do. They're an engineer or a scientist or a farmer or a teacher. They're really good at all those other things, but that is not what they do.
They're not into interior design.
And it really takes a special eye and the builder and a team that the builders use to put those together. And a lot of times, I mean, it's kind of like me with clothes. I don't know how many times I always buy what's on the mannequin at Macy's or whatever. I walk in and I'm like,
oh, that looks good.
You know what? That looks great. We'll just take that. And then I'm out because I can't put all that together. It's physically impossible.
You do that when you buy a car.
Yeah. Yep. And so it's nice because a lot of times it takes the guesswork out of it. You don't have to worry, how's that going to look when it's done? You can see it, touch it, feel it, and it's there. And sometimes there will be little things that a builder can still do in that instance. A lot of times we'll go into a spec house and somebody will say, you know what, I'd love to buy this house, but before I move in all my furniture and before I get everything on the walls, I really want that master bedroom to be, to be taupe instead of white, and I really want my kids' bedroom to be pink. And so a lot of times those are small changes like that when we're selling a spec house that we can say, you know what, that's easily done. We can bring the painters in, tape that up, and you can move in 5 days. Another thing is the convenience of that being done. When someone sells a house and they need to move quickly, those options are already put together for them.
Now, Lance, from a financing perspective, when someone's building a house and they're getting a construction loan and say it's 6 months out, we don't know what interest rates are going to be in 6 months. Where you buy a spec house, that you get rid of that uncertainty. We know what rates are today. We can lock it in, close in 3 weeks, and done. So it takes a lot of that guesswork out of it.
Well, that's great. And you and I have been in some transactions before where we've, worked with customers that might be kind of tight. And if they are tight on their ratios, it's possible that because of an interest rate change that they might not be qualified at the end of that build. And so, we try to do things to prevent that from happening, but those are real scenarios that we have to worry about on our end. And so I know we're always talking about that and going back and forth. So those are some of the issues that we're dealing with in new construction. The other reason I wanted to bring that up is because it's only about a month away, and we'll be less than that now, and we'll be into the Tri-Cities Regional Home and Garden Show. We're going to talk about that more on another show, but as we get into that mode and those events are coming up, I wanted people to start looking at their options with new construction. So that's what we have this week. We're going to be right back here next week on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I know tomorrow's a big day. Mm-hmm. As much as you might want to see a house at 3:45 tomorrow at kickoff, I'm probably going to try to delay that a couple hours. I'm just going to put it out there. That's probably not a good option to get a hold of me for once.
Hey, well, if you want to fill out a loan application tomorrow at 3:45, go to my website, ComcoinHomeLoans.com. It's open 24/7.
Okay, great. And you can browse our website at KenMartin.com and pick out the three that you want me to show you after the game. We'll be right back. Go Hawks next week.
Go Broncos. On News Talk 870.